إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, the topic that we want to discuss briefly is at-taqwa. Its relationship to fasting, yani the relationship between at-taqwa and fasting, the definition or meaning of at-taqwa, some of the virtues or excellence of the people of taqwa, yani the rewards and benefits that the people of taqwa would receive, and yani something related to the reality of fasting, the reality of fasting as it relates to this topic of at-taqwa. And this is a topic that is very broad in scope and inshallah great in its benefit if we understand what is at-taqwa and if we apply what we find in the instruction or the guidance of the Quran and in the Sunnah. As far as the relationship between at-taqwa and as-siyam, fasting, the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah in which Allah legislates fasting and informs us of the ruling concerning fasting, that it is an obligation upon the people who are responsible, yani who are held responsible for their behavior and their actions, is the well-known ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the 183rd ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in many verses in the Quran, calls the attention of the people of Iman to what he is about to inform us of in this ayah. Yani in many verses in the Quran, Allah begins them addressing the believers, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, many verses in the Quran. And there are many other verses in which he doesn't address the believers directly. Sometimes he addressed the people in general, Ya ayyuha nas, or the disbelievers, Ya ayyuha al-kafirun, and so on. But what we know concerning those ayah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani singled out with this address to the people of Iman, is indeed that they have a distinction. Although every ayah in the Quran is of importance, there is no doubt about it. It is all the speech of Allah, and it is guidance for humanity. Rather, it is guidance for the people of taqwa. Naam. But particularly these ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins them by calling the attention of the people of Iman to the fact of their Iman. Yani he addressed the people by their characteristic of Iman, hopefully to draw our attention to what is about to be said. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In these few words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of a number of things. The first, as we mentioned already, is that this is addressed particularly, specifically to the people of Iman. Yani it's not addressed to everyone. Not everyone is capable of receiving or acting upon what came in this ayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, this is for the people of Iman. So whoever believes that they are from the people of Iman, they should pay attention. And they should try to grasp and comprehend what came in this ayat and apply it in their lives. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Yani, furida alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been made obligatory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Just as it has been made obligatory on those who were before you. La'allakum tattaqoon. In order that you might achieve or attain at-taqwa. So our topic today is the relationship between fasting and at-taqwa. And what is the meaning of at-taqwa? And what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people of taqwa in terms of their characteristics, their qualities, the benefits, their virtues, their excellence, the fruits of being described with this characteristic of at-taqwa? Some of the scholars of At-Tafsir said that this ayat indicates the legislation of fasting, that fasting has been legislated in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that has been made obligatory on this ummah, just as it was made obligatory on the previous nations, like the ummah of Isa alayhi salam, or the ummah of Musa alayhi salam, and so on. And this being so, that it has been made obligatory upon us, whoever reached the age of a taklif, of responsibility, where they became responsible to fulfill the obligations of Islam, yani to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions, then they must fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made it clear in these ayat of Siyam in Surah Al-Baqarah, He made it clear that what is intended by this fasting is the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Yani there's other times of fasting, and there are other types of fasting. But specifically in this ayat, it is in reference to the month of Ramadan. And this is made clear in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Yani the month of Ramadan, in which was sent down or revealed the Qur'an, until He said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرِ فَلْيَصُمْ. So whoever witnesses the month, yani whoever is present, who is resident, at the time of the arrival of this month, فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Then that one must fast this month. Which month? The month of Ramadan. Naam. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, yani, particularized or singled out the believers, the mu'mineen, with this call or this invitation, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And He has informed them of the obligation of fasting in this ayat. Because the people of Iman, due to their Iman, it is because of their Iman that they are capable of carrying this responsibility that follows this call to the people of Iman. Yani the responsibility of what? The obligation of fasting. It is because of their Iman that they are able to fulfill this obligation. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specialed out and singled out the people of Iman to the exclusion of the rest of the people, the disbelievers who don't have Iman, who are not capable of fulfilling this responsibility. And we don't say that they are not capable of abstaining from eating and drinking, but fasting, as we have mentioned previously and as we will re-emphasize today, is more than just abstention from eating and drinking and marital relations. Fasting is more than that. Rather, the reality of fasting is much greater than that. Indeed, they are from amongst the kuffar and the mushrikeen, those who can abstain from eating and drinking. Naam. But fasting is more than that. If that's all it is, then this might be an indication of why the Muslim Ummah is in the condition that we are in today. Because we have taken fasting as no more than abstinence from eating and drinking. And this is not what is intended, as clearly indicated in this ayah. يعني كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم. Fasting has been made obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory on those before you. And in these words, just as it was made obligatory on the people before you, there is a minimizing of the mashaqqah of siyam, yani of the difficulty of siyam. There is, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using these words to make us to understand that the difficulty of fasting is not all that people make it out to be. It's not really that difficult. Rather, it was made obligatory on the people before you. And had it been something that was so difficult that was not possible for you to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have made it obligatory upon you. And He would not have made it obligatory on the people before you. In these words that end this ayat, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that Allah has made it obligatory with the objective, with the purpose, with the intention. Yani the hadaf, the goal, the ghaya, what we are trying to reach by fasting, it is to achieve a taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in this ayat that through fasting, the believer is prepared, is equipped, is qualified with an aptitude or an ability to do acts of ta'at, of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through fasting, yani the believer, the person who has iman, is equipped and qualified, is trained, is aided and supported in being able to achieve the ability to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fulfilling His commandments and avoiding His prohibitions. Therefore, fasting qualifies the believing servant, qualifies them, equips them with the characteristic of a taqwa. And this, the achievement of a taqwa, is a benefit, a tremendous benefit, above and beyond the great benefit of the reward, the great reward of fasting. And we know that there is a tremendous great reward for fasting. In addition to the reward of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another benefit, an extra benefit, which is indeed tremendous. And it is the benefit of achieving the characteristic of a taqwa. So what is this taqwa? What do we mean when we say taqwa? Yani what do we understand by the word taqwa? What does it mean? Yani in English, what does it mean? Now. Now? Go ahead, brother.
It's a barrier.
A barrier. Okay. Between?
Between the servant and Allah.
Servant and Allah. Now.
It's a slave doing what Allah has prescribed to do and staying far away from what Allah has prohibited and building a shield from Allah's punishment.
Doing what Allah has commanded, staying away from what Allah has prohibited, and making a shield that protects them
from Allah's
punishment. Now, Abdurrahman.
Being conscious of Allah at all times.
Being conscious of Allah at all times. Now, what else?
Fear.
Fear. Okay, fear. Yani a state of fear of Allah's punishment, of His displeasure, of His wrath. Now, from what we have heard, right, we can see that this word is a comprehensive word that has many meanings. Naam, it has many meanings. Some people translate it as fear. Some people translate it as consciousness of Allah. Some people translate it as any different things, righteousness, piety. And this should make us want to grasp its deeper and fuller meaning. The practical meaning of a taqwa that one can apply in one's life. That's what we want to know. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the believers, letting us know that He has made fasting obligatory upon us in order to help us, to enable us to achieve a taqwa, it is important that we know what is this taqwa and that we make every effort to actually achieve it. Because what if a person fasts the whole month of Ramadan for 29 or 30 days and they didn't achieve a taqwa? And they did not achieve a taqwa. Wouldn't that be a musibah? Wouldn't that be a calamity, a disaster? That a person fasts for a whole month, abstaining from eating and drinking, and marital relations, etc. And in the end, they didn't achieve the purpose of all of that abstention. And the Prophet ﷺ made it clear in innumerable hadith this meaning, that if a person doesn't achieve the objective for which fasting was legislated, they haven't achieved anything. They have wasted their time. And inshallah, before we complete our discussion this evening, we would like to look at a couple of those hadith that show us the reality of as-siyam. What is the reality of siyam? What is the purpose? What is the objective? What is the goal that we should be seeking to achieve? So that if a person knows, number one, what is taqwa, and what is the objective of fasting to achieve taqwa, then it is likely, it is more likely, with the help of Allah and the tawfiq from Allah, that we might achieve the goal for which fasting has been legislated. Otherwise, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the person doesn't get anything but hunger and thirst. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, he gave a tremendous, beautiful, short and simple definition of a taqwa. What is the meaning of a taqwa? He said, أن تجعل العبد بينه وبين ما يخافه ويحذره وقاية تقيه منه. It is that the worshipper, the slave, the abd, makes places between himself and that which he fears, and that which he is warned from, a wiqaya, a means of protection, like a shield, a means of protection that will guard him and protect him from that which he fears. And at-taqwa, he said, is that the abd places between himself and that which he fears a protective shield, a wiqaya, that will protect him from that which he is afraid of, from that which he fears harm from. فَالتَّقْوَى الْعَبْدِ لِرَبِّهِ. So the taqwa of the abd, the taqwa of the abd, of his Rabb, is that he place between himself and between that which he fears from his Rabb, including the anger of his Rabb, and the sakhat, the displeasure of his Rabb, and the iqab of his Rabb, he places between himself and that which he fears from his Rabb, a wiqaya, a means of protection that protects him from that. يعني أن تجعل بينه وبين ما يخاف من ربه من غضبه وسخطه وعقابه وقاية تقيه من ذلك. Yani that the person places between himself and that which he fears from his Rabb. What is it that he fears from his Rabb? He fears his ghadab. He fears the anger of Allah, that Allah will become angry with him. How? Why would Allah become angry with him? Disobedience, because he's engaging in that which Allah has prohibited. Or he's failing to perform that which Allah has commanded him with. And because of this, he may earn the anger of Allah. Or he may earn the sakhat of Allah, the displeasure of Allah, or the iqab of Allah, his punishment. This is what the abd, the worshipper of Allah, fears from his Rabb. He fears that Allah may become angry with him, that Allah's wrath may befall him, that Allah's punishment may overcome him. So he places between himself and that which he fears from his Rabb a wiqaya, that which will protect him from Allah's anger, that which will protect him from Allah's wrath and Allah's punishment. And that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali says, وَهُوَ فِعْلْ طَاعَتِهِ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَعَاصِهِ. Yani, and that protective shield that he places between himself to protect him from what he fears from his Rabb, it is that he does actions of obedience, and that he avoids actions of disobedience. This, fulfilling the commands of Allah, engaging in acts of obedience to Allah, and avoiding acts of disobedience to Allah, is the wiqaya, is the protective shield. And this is taqwa. What is taqwa? That the abd does acts of obedience and avoids acts of disobedience as a means of that act of obedience, and avoiding the act of disobedience being a protective shield that will shield him and protect him from the anger and the wrath and the punishment of his Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another scholar from amongst the Salaf that is Maymun ibn Mahran, he said, Al-Muttaqi ashaddu muhasibatan li nafsihi min ash-shariq ash-shahi li sharikihi. Yani the muttaqi, the person who has taqwa, is more severe in taking account of his own self than a stingy partner is in taking account of his partner. Yani a person is in business and his partner is stingy. His partner is watching every move, every dime that he's spending, keeping account of him, watching him carefully. He said the person who has taqwa is more severe in taking account of his own self than the stingy partner is in taking account of his partner, that he's afraid is going to steal a penny from him. This is a taqwa. Taking account of oneself. And this we're going to talk about on another occasion. Yani the relationship between a taqwa and al-muhasabah, muhasabah al-nafs, a person taking account of their self before the account is taken of them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he said, لَيْسَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ بِسِيَامَ النَّهَارِ وَلَا بِقِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ وَالتَّخْلِيطِ فِي مَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَلَكِنْ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ تَرْقُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ وَأَدَاءُ مَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهِ. يعني taqwa is not merely fasting in the daylight hours and standing in prayer in the night and then mixing all in between that, yani with what? With acts of disobedience to Allah. People abstaining from eating and drinking all day, standing in the night, naam, and all in between, engaging in every type of disobedience. Lying, backbiting, slandering, smoking, drinking, mixing between the sexes, cheating, and all of this. He said, this is not taqwa, but rather, taqwa Allah, tark ma harram Allah wa ada'u ma iftarad Allah. But rather, taqwa is abandoning that which Allah has prohibited and fulfilling that which Allah has made obligatory. And we can see from many of the sayings of the Salaf that a taqwa centers around this theme of fulfilling Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. And this is a general comprehensive meaning that includes everything that Allah has commanded us with and everything that Allah has prohibited us from. And indeed, these meanings are many. And from amongst the great sayings of the Salaf concerning the meaning of a taqwa, and even if all of these meanings are close and they are similar and they revolve around the same foundation, but actually the different expressions by the scholars from amongst the Salaf of what is the meaning of taqwa gives us a broader and more comprehensive meaning that helps us and enables us, yani puts us in a position perhaps to recognize taqwa in a greater sense than just the meaning of consciousness or piety or righteousness. In that perhaps, if we understand what taqwa is during this month, by the tawfiq of Allah, we might strive for it and we might achieve it with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise we'll be of the people who are deprived, the people who have been denied, the people who are losers, who get no benefit from their fasting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need of that fasting. So, from amongst the scholars of the Salaf is Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah. He said, At-taqwa أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. يعني التقوى is that a person act upon that which is obedience to Allah. أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله. And that ta'a, that act of obedience, it is based upon a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not based upon somebody's thinking or their feeling or their inclination or what they have invented, but based upon their desires. Yani the people who are engaging in what they think are acts of worship, but it is not based upon the light from Allah. Yani it's not based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. So they're engaging in acts that they intend to bring them near to Allah, but instead it is bringing them further away from Allah. Yani think people worshipping on other than the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on other than the sunnah. Rather they are acting upon bid'ah, upon misguidance, upon desires, upon yani that which has been invented by the enemies of Islam and the enemies of Allah. So at taqwa, he said there are two aspects. The first aspect is that a person acts upon obedience to Allah, based upon, yani in light of, the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for the reward of Allah. Tarju thawab Allah. Hoping for the reward of Allah. Yani that a person does the act of obedience, that they do it in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, and that they have hope. يعني من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. يعني whoever fasts Ramadan with إيمان and احتساب, hoping for reward from Allah, then their previous sins will be forgiven them. This is very important, that the person does the act of obedience in accordance with the Sharia of Allah and with احتساب, with رجاء, hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second aspect of the taqwa, he said, that is Talq ibn Habib, wa an tatruka ma'asiyat Allah ala nurin min Allah takhafu iqab Allah. That a person abandons acts of disobedience to Allah ala nurin min Allah, based upon a light from Allah. What is an act of disobedience? That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is act of disobedience. Not what the people themselves have invented, but they yani abandoned acts of disobedience, determining what is disobedience of Allah based on a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takhafu iqab Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. Yani they abandoned these acts of disobedience that they came to know from the Quran and Sunnah, fearing the punishment of Allah. Yani they do acts of obedience based on the light of Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, and they abandon acts of disobedience based upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. What a tremendous, yani simple, comprehensive meaning of a taqwa. Again, centering on the meaning of what? Doing acts of obedience, avoiding acts of disobedience. But here he has added a clarity to this definition, and that is that what is obedience is what Allah said is obedience, and what is disobedience is what Allah says is disobedience. And that the person has hope when they do an act of obedience for the reward of Allah, and that the person has fear. The reason why they avoid the acts of disobedience, because they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadidul iqab. They fear His punishment. And these are just a few of the definitions that some of the Salaf have given for the meaning of at-taqwa. And quickly, I would like to mention a few ayats from the Quran. And the ayat dealing with the Ahl al-Taqwa, the people of taqwa in the Quran, are many. There are many. But we like to just review quickly a few of them, and perhaps on another occasion, stop on some of these ayats and discuss what the scholars of the Salaf have said concerning the meaning of them. Yani at this point, we just want to look at a few ayats and some of the characteristics of the people of taqwa and the virtues and the excellence and the reward and the benefit of one who has developed this characteristic of taqwa that we hope to achieve by fasting in this month of Ramadan. From Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah. And there's a series of ayats from 1 through 4, but we'll just like look at it quickly. The first ayah we want to mention is from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning of the surah, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That is the book in which there's no doubt. Everything in it is the haqq, absolutely, without any restriction or hesitation. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There's absolutely no doubt in it. It is the truth, unquestionably. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And that in that book, or that book itself, is a guidance for the people of taqwa. Yani, this is the first benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first opening of Surah Al-Baqarah, that the people of taqwa who are described with this characteristic that we are seeking to achieve in this month of fasting in Ramadan, if we fast correctly, in light of the Quran and Sunnah, and hoping for the reward of Allah, the great benefit that will be achieved is that the one who is described with this characteristic of taqwa will find the Quran as a guidance for them. The Quran is not a guidance for everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is hudan lil muttaqeen. Yani, the people who have taqwa are qualified, they are equipped, they are prepared. They are ready to accept what came in the Quran, and therefore it became a guidance for them. As far as the other people, they want to argue and dispute and reject and doubt, and therefore it is of no guidance to them. Naam, it doesn't benefit them. It doesn't benefit the kafir who doesn't follow it. It doesn't benefit the hypocrite who's just dipping and dabbing and sneaking and cutting and hiding and pretending. But it benefits the person who has taqwa, who observes what Allah has given us in the Quran in public and in private, in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, with our families, with our friends, and with our enemies. Yani, at-taqwa is the characteristic of the believer all the time, not sometimes. Yani, we have taqwa in Ramadan, and after Ramadan we go back to being the fasiq and the fajir. Or we have taqwa in the daytime, and at night we go on the pipe and smoke pipe and get high and do whatever the filthy, corrupt people are doing. Rather, taqwa is the characteristic of a believer all the time. And this is something that we have to look at ourselves and examine. Are we observing taqwa all the time? It's not sometimes, because we don't know when Allah will take us, and we might die in a condition other than the condition of Islam, of submission and obedience, in a condition of taqwa, in a condition that's pleasing to Allah. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the third surah, 133rd ayat, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It has been prepared already, or read that, past tense, it has already been prepared for the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, the people who are described with this characteristic of taqwa. What is it that has been prepared for them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, and hasten in seeking forgiveness from your Rabb in this month and outside of it, but especially in the month of Ramadan. It is an opportunity for seeking the forgiveness of your Lord. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, they will be forgiven their previous sins. Whoever stands in the qiyam in the evening nights of Ramadan, they will be forgiven with iman and ihtisab, they will be forgiven their previous sins. Whoever stands in Laylatul Qadr with iman and ihtisab, they will be forgiven their previous sins. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Hasten, hurry. يعني, be eager in seeking forgiveness from your Rabb. as a prelude to the Jannah. وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and a paradise whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, and it has already been prepared for the people of taqwa. If there was not another ayat in the Quran that mentioned the people of taqwa, that is sufficient for us. Hasten in seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb. Don't be lazy. Yani, don't be casual about the matter. But be hasty, be eager, be diligent in seeking Allah's forgiveness. And thereby seeking the means, yani the preparation, preparing yourself. If Allah has forgiven you, then it will equip you and qualify you and make you fit to enter a Jannah whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, and it has already been prepared for the people of taqwa. And the third ayah that we want to mention is from Surah Yunus, a tremendous ayat that definitely requires yani a pause and a stop at some point to discuss its detailed meaning. In this ayat, Allah mentions one of the great benefits for the people of taqwa, and that is al-wilaya, that they will be from the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes under His care and His custody. They will be a wali of Allah. A wali of Allah. Yani the wali of Allah, as we found in this ayat, is none other than the person who has iman and observes taqwa. The person who is a believer who observes taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, Ala, إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Isn't it so that the awliya of Allah are not some saints who people go to their graves and pray to them, who did some miraculous acts, supernatural, they flew in the sky, or they sailed across the sea on a wave from one side to the other? Ala inna awliya Allah. And isn't it so that indeed the awliya of Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun, they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. They will not fear what is ahead of them, nor will they grieve over what they left behind. Who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They are the people of iman and taqwa. These people will not have fear, nor will they grieve, and they will earn the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the care and the guardianship of Allah Rabbul Alameen. And the fourth ayat, 10th surah, surah to Yunus, 10th surah, 62 and 63. Naam, yani ala inna awliya Allah لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون, يعني those who believe and they observed taqwa. يعني there are people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't observe taqwa. And so Allah legislated fasting as a means to help us to achieve taqwa, so that with iman and taqwa a person becomes a wali of the awliya of Allah. With iman and taqwa, perhaps we do believe sincerely, but we are not fulfilling the commands of Allah, and we are not avoiding the prohibitions of Allah, and therefore we have not achieved this rank of taqwa, and we have not achieved the right to expect and to hope for and to depend upon the protection and guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has promised for His awliya. And the fourth ayat from Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, 126 and 127th ayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this very beautiful few words, He addressed the believers, wasbir wama sabruka illa billah. Wasbir, be patient. That's a command. Whatever you are confronted with, whatever hardships or difficulties or trials, wasbir, be patient. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. But you will not be patient except by the help of Allah. You will not be able to be patient except by help from Allah. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَقُوْ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. And don't grieve over these people and what they are plotting and planning. وَلَا تَقُوْ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Yani don't be uptight because of their plotting and planning. Don't worry about it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who have taqwa, and Allah is with those who practice ihsan. Be patient, but you will not be patient except by help from Allah. Don't grieve over these people, and don't be uptight, distressed, due to what they are plotting and planning. Know for a fact, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who observe taqwa and those who practice ihsan. Yani who worship Allah as though they are seeing Him. And if they cannot achieve that level, then at least act like you know that Allah is seeing you in your worship of Allah and in your dealings with the creation. Practice ihsan. Be kind to the people. Be just to the people. Be fair to the people. Don't abuse others. Don't do injustice to others. Don't transgress against others. Because Allah is with those who have taqwa and those who practice ihsan. And there are many other ayats. But for the sake of time, so that we don't run out of time. One more ayat that I will read. In Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 2nd and 3rd ayat. And these ayats, the 2nd ayat and the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th, all of them contain tremendous promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people of taqwa. In the end of the 2nd ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And in the beginning of the 3rd ayat, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. And whoever observes taqwa of Allah, yani strives and struggles earnestly, sincerely, eagerly, to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions. Whoever does this, then Allah promises, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. That's a shart. يَجْعَلْ. That's a jawabu shart. Yani Allah makes a condition, and then He answers. What will be the response to that condition if you fulfill it? Whoever observes taqwa of Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Then Allah will make a way out for him, or for her, from any situation or circumstance. And above and beyond that, وَيَرْزُقُهُ. And Allah will provide for that person provision, sustenance, مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. From where you didn't imagine, from where you couldn't imagine it will come from. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is tremendous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. And the promise of Allah is true, that if you observe taqwa, if you are the people of taqwa, Allah will make a way out for you from every difficulty and hardship and test and trial. And Allah will provide for you from where you didn't expect it. And these are some of the ayats, some of many ayats. And after this, I want to quickly mention in brief, yani a topic that requires a full sitting, and that is haqiqat al-siyam. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote a whole book on this, the reality of fasting. But we mention briefly, concerning the reality of fasting, the reality of fasting, not the fasting that people have been accustomed to. Many people, probably too many people, and probably even some of us, we have also fallen into this. Yani we have fasted without observing the reality of fasting. Naam. And the reality of fasting is related to the ayah that we began with, that fasting has been legislated in order to achieve a goal. There's an objective. There's a purpose. There's a wisdom behind the legislation of fasting. And it is to achieve a taqwa. And this is the reality of fasting. The one who fasts in the way that we are supposed to fast will achieve a taqwa. And the other people, Allah has no need of their fasting and they will get no benefit from it. Allah has no need of it. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the hadith is narrated by Al-Bukhari and others, من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. من لم يدع قول الزور, that whoever doesn't abandon, whoever doesn't give up قول الزور, يعني false speech, lying, backbiting, slandering, false testimony, قول الزور, speech that is forbidden, forbidden speech, every type, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, every type of forbidden speech comes under قول الزور. Whoever doesn't give up false speech, this means that it's incumbent upon us to watch our tongue. And this is another topic that we have to spend time with before the end of this Ramadan. Guarding the tongue. It is the easiest thing to fall into and the most difficult one to get out of. The danger of the tongue. False speech. من لم يضع قول الزور ولا عمل به. The false speech and acting upon it. The actions that are related to false speech. Yani haram behavior of every type. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is making us to understand that fasting is not just abstaining from food and drink that Allah has made lawful for us. Rather, the real purpose is not to deny us that which He has given us, that which He has provided us with and made lawful for us. Rather, the real purpose of fasting is that that be a means of equipping us and qualifying us and preparing us and making us fit to abstain from that which Allah has prohibited. So the Prophet ﷺ made this reality clear in this hadith. Whoever doesn't give up false speech, haram speech and haram behavior, wal jahla and ignorant behavior, shouting and screaming and arguing and disputing and just acting a fool. Whoever doesn't give up this, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِيَنْ يَدْعَى طَعَامُ وَشَرَابُ. Allah has no need for that person to give up their food and drink. And there's no purpose in you giving up the food and drink that Allah has provided you with and Allah has made lawful for you. If you understand that the purpose of giving up the lawful food and drink during the daylight hours of fasting is to equip you and to qualify you, to make you fit, to be strong enough, to have the yani aptitude and the ability to abstain from that which Allah has prohibited. If this doesn't happen, then there's no need for you to give up lawful food and drink. As the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ. Allah has no need. And as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, that the meaning of here, حَاجَةٌ, means al-qubool, that Allah doesn't accept that fast, which is merely abstention from food and drink. Yani, abstaining from food and drink in the day, and standing in the prayers in the night, and all in between engaging in disobedience to Allah. Allah has no need of that type of fasting. Allah has no need. And as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, Allah doesn't accept it. And another hadith of similar meaning mentioned by At-Tabarani, yani of the same meaning as this hadith from Bukhari, that he mentions in Al-Mu'jam Al-Saghir and Al-Awsat, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من لم يضع الخنأ والكذب قول الزور. In this hadith, and it says that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man lam yada al khana wal kadhib." Whoever doesn't give up indecent speech and lying, فلا حاجة لله أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Then Allah has no need that that person give up their food and drink. Whoever doesn't give up what? Indecent, filthy, obscene language, and lying, then Allah has no need for that person to give up their food and drink. There's no benefit. Allah doesn't accept it. And the person doesn't benefit from it. Yani this type of fasting that many people are engaging in, may Allah save us from this, is the fast that Allah has no need of. And the fast that we get no benefit from. And Allah doesn't need it, and you don't benefit from it. So why even do it? The Prophet ﷺ said that which makes clear to us that there is no benefit in this type of fast for you, the one who is fasting like this, above and beyond the fact that Allah has no need of it. Even you don't benefit from it. In the hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is Hasan, Sahih. It is the authentic hadith. Reported from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع. That there is a fasting person who doesn't get anything from his fasting except hunger. ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر. And there's the person who stands in the night, who doesn't get anything from the standing except weariness and tiredness. Just staying up, being tired. And in another narration, that's also Hasan Sahih, reported by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is authentic. He said, of similar meaning, رُبَّ صَائِمْ حَظُّهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمْ حَظُّهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ السَّهَرِ. That there is a fasting person who their portion from their fasting is only hunger and thirst. And there is a person who stands in the night in prayer, and their portion, their hadd, their fortune from their standing is no more than yani the weariness and the tiredness of staying up all night. This type of fasting and this type of praying, Allah has no need of it, and we get no benefit from it. And briefly, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his book Jami' Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, concerning fasting, he says, يَجِبُ على الصائم وغيره أن يجتنب الكذب والغيبة والشتم. That it is obligatory upon the fasting person, obligatory, mandatory, that they avoid الكذب والغيبة والشتم, lying and backbiting and abusing others. It's obligatory to avoid this. If a person is fasting, don't let your fasting, your state of fasting, be an excuse for you abusing your brother or your sister in Islam, or another person, even a kafir. Because the fasting person is responsible for their self, and they are especially responsible for their tongue. And just as we avoid putting anything into our mouth, like food or drink, while we are fasting, we should be careful what comes out of it. We should be careful what comes out of it. The Shaykh said, it is obligatory for the fasting person to avoid lying, backbiting, and abusing. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ ذَكَرُوا هَذَا مِنْ بَابِ التَّوْقِيدِ. But the scholars only mention this obligation of avoiding lying and backbiting and such things as a means of affirming, reaffirming the need and the necessity of doing so. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَأَكَّدْ عَلَى الصَّائِمْ مِنْ فِعْلَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرْكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ لَا يَتَأَكَّدْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. Because it is more important and more yani obligatory upon the fasting person to do the obligatory duties and to avoid the prohibited things more than it is for other than the fasting person. Yani these things are obligatory that we avoid them if we are fasting or not fasting, but more so when a person is fasting. Guard your tongue. Pay attention to what you are saying. Indeed, there are angels waiting, ready to record whatever we say and whatever we do. And the Shaykh says, a proof from this, or a proof of this, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani a proof of this obligation of avoiding lying and backbiting and abusing and things that Allah has prohibited, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ, yani showing that the person who is fasting is in a different state, a greater state. قُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا قُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you will attain a taqwa, so that you will avoid what Allah has prohibited, and that you will fulfill His commands. وَهَذِهِ هِيَ الْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ فَرْضَ السِّيَامِ, and this is the wisdom behind the obligation of fasting. أَنْ يَكُونَ وَسِيلَةٌ لِلتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِفِعْلِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرْكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, says, and this is the wisdom of the obligation of fasting. It is that it will be a wasila, a means. The fasting should be a means for you to achieve the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, by doing those things which He has made obligatory upon us, and by avoiding those things that He has prohibited us. And a proof of this, the Shaykh says, is the hadith that we just mentioned from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever doesn't give up false speech and acting upon that false speech, prohibited, yani haram behavior, and acting ignorantly, then Allah has no need of that person giving up their food and drink. And the Shaykh says, the meaning of this, that Allah does not want, Allah did not intend, لَمْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ مِنَّا بِالسِّيَامِ أَنْ نَتْرُكَ الطَّعَامُ وَالشَّرَابِ لِيُعَذِّبَنَا إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ أَنْ نَتَّقِيهِ فِيمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْنَا. Yani the meaning of this, the Shaykh says, that Allah did not intend from us by fasting that we merely give up food and drink in order to punish us. Yani Allah didn't prohibit us from eating and drinking from dawn until sunset as a punishment for us. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ أَن نَتَّقِيهِ فِيمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ. But rather what Allah intends is that we observe taqwa of Him in that which He has prohibited us from. And the last thing that we want to mention, perhaps, is from the wisdom of fasting. Yani, these matters, many of the scholars have pointed out, some scholars have mentioned them in different wordings, but these are two matters that are of great importance from the wisdom or the purpose or the objective of fasting. Some of the scholars said that from the wisdom of fasting, أَنَّ مَنْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَرْكِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهِ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ فَتَرْكُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْخَبَائِثِ أَحْوَنُ وَأَسْحَلُ وَأَوْلَى. Yani that the one who is able to give up that which Allah has made lawful, has made halal for us from the tayyibat, from the good things, then leaving that which Allah has forbidden from the filthy and unclean and evil things should be ahwanu wa ashalu wa awla. Yani it should be lighter or less burdensome on us, and it should be easier, and it should be more befitting of us. If a person can give up the lawful good things, then it should be easier for us to give up the filthy haram things. Yani if a person can give up eating fruit and drinking milk and eating the good and drinking the good things that Allah has provided us with, then it should be easier for them to give up the filthy things like cigarettes and alcohol and drugs and lying and stealing and cheating. Naam, that should be easier because these things are filthy and these things are haram. So how can a person give up the lawful and the good and then have difficulty in giving up that which Allah has prohibited? And the second matter from the wisdom of fasting, أن الإنسان لا يترك ما يحبه يعني من الطعام والشراب والجماع إِلَّا لِمَا كَانَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ وَثَوَابِهِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That a person will not give up مَا يُحِبُّهُ, that which he loves or that which she loves, from lawful food and drink and marital relations. They will not give this up except for that which is more beloved to them. يعني ما كان أحب إليه, meaning the pleasure of Allah and His reward in Jannah. If a person has difficulty in giving up food and drink in the daylight hours of Ramadan and marital relations, then remember that you are giving this up for something that is more beloved to you. Indeed, the pleasure of Allah and His reward in Jannah is more beloved. And it is easy for a person to give up that which they love if they remember that it will entitle them to that which is more beloved to them. And in this meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, for example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That indeed, if you love Allah, then follow me. Yani, if your love of Allah is what you claim it to be, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he has commanded and what he has prohibited. Because whatever it is that you are giving up in order to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Allah is greater than that. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ, and Allah will love you. Indeed, the love of Allah is greater for the believer. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this ayat, the first ayat is in Kuntum Tuhibbun Allah. I think it's in Surah Ali Imran. You have to do some homework today. And the second ayat, I think it's in Surah An-Nisa. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That indeed from amongst the people are those who take as andad, yani that which they set up as partners or equal to Allah, and they love them like the love of Allah. Yani they love those things that they have set up as partners with Allah in the same way that they love Allah. But Allah says about the people of Iman, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe are more or greater and stronger in their love of Allah than the other people who have some love for Allah. But the love of Allah is the greatest. So whoever gives up that which they love for that which is more beloved to them, that is the love of Allah and the pleasure of Allah and the reward of Allah, then this will help us to make it easy to abstain from those things that Allah has prohibited to us during the fasting time. And the other hadith have similar meaning. For the sake of time, I want to quickly, in the few minutes that are remaining, look at the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di concerning the ayat that we started with, and some of the points that he mentions concerning this subject of the relationship between fasting and al-taqwa. The Shaykh, he says, after mentioning these ayats, O you believe, fasting has been made obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory on those before you, that you might achieve at taqwa, to the end of the ayat in Surah to Ali Imran 183 and 184, 185 and so on. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yukhbiru ta'ala bima manna bihi ala ibadihi bi annahu farada alayhim as-siyam kama faradahu ala al-umam as-sabiqa li annahu min al-shara'i والأوامر التي هي مصلحة للخلق في كل زمان. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us بما من به على عباده بأنه فرض عليهم الصيام. يعني He has informed us of that through which He has given us His favor, His servants, His worshippers. That through which He has favored us. That through which He has blessed us. And that is, what is it that through which we are given His favor? It is in that He has made obligatory upon us fasting. Yani His making fasting obligatory upon us is the means through which His favor came upon us. Yani the obligation of fasting is indeed a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if it is a means for a person to achieve a taqwa, and the people of taqwa will be in Jannah, what greater blessing? وَفِيهِ تَنْشِيطٍ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِأَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَن تُنَافِسُوا غَيْرَكُمْ فِي تَكْمِيلِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْمُصَارِعَةِ إِلَى الصَّالِحِ الْخِصَالِ وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الثَّقِيلَةِ الَّتِي اخْتَصَيْتُمْ بِهِ اخْتَصَيْتُمْ بِهِ. That in this ayat, that is the saying of Allah that He has made fasting obligatory upon you, like He made it obligatory on those before you, in fihi tanshit lihadhihi al-ummah. Yani these words are a means of encouraging the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be more active. Don't fall back and be lax, but be active, because it is incumbent upon you to strive and to compete with the people before you who also were obligated to fast, to strive and compete with them in the completion and the perfection of your deeds, and in hastening to righteous characteristics. And that this is also an indication that this fasting is not from those affairs which are very difficult that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on you alone. Rather, every nation before you also were given the same obligation. Then Allah mentions the hikmah. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ تَعَالَ حِكْمَتَهُ فِي مَشْرُعِيَّةِ السِّيَامِ فَقَالَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he mentions that Allah mentions the hikmah, the wisdom, yani the objective, the purpose, the goal of the legislation of fasting in these two words, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. For indeed fasting, فَإِنَّ الصِّيَامِ مِنْ أَكْبَرْ أَسْبَابِ التَّقْوَى لِأَنَّ فِيهِ امْتِثَالَ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَابْ نَهْيِهِ. Indeed, fasting is from the greatest causes or means of achieving a taqwa. Yani it's not the only means, but it's from amongst the greatest means of achieving a taqwa, because it entails complying with the command of Allah and avoiding His prohibition. Because it entails fasting, the core of fasting is that a person comply with the commands of Allah and that they avoid His prohibitions. This is the meaning of taqwa, that a person fulfill the commands of Allah and avoid His prohibitions. And this is from the greatest means of achieving, yani at-taqwa. فَمِنْمَا اشْتَمَلَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ taqwa. So from amongst those things that fasting entails from taqwa, and الصائم يترك ما حرم الله عليه من الأكل والشرب والجماع ونحوها التي تميل إليها نفسه متقربا بذلك إلى الله راجيا بتركها ثوابه فهذا من التقوى. يعني from the characteristics of fasting that entail this يعني substance of taqwa is that the fasting person abandons that which Allah has prohibited. Yani during the hours of fasting, of eating and drinking and marital relations and that which is similar to it. Those things which the nafs, the lower self, is inclined towards. But they abandon these things as a yani means of nearness, of getting near to Allah. مُتَقَرِّبًا بِذَلِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So the person, when they're the fasting person, should have in their heart the intention and in their mind a consciousness that I am abandoning this food and drink as a means of nearness to Allah. Yani this is not a burden. This is not a hardship. This is not something that I don't want to do. Rather, this is a means of nearness to Allah. If a person can yani focus on this type of meaning, that I am doing this as a means of getting near to my Lord, indeed, this will make the fasting easier. As a means of nearness to Allah, and hoping in leaving those things for the reward of Allah, and this thinking, this consciousness, this intention it is from the characteristics of a taqwa. And also from that which fasting includes or entails that is related to taqwa, and النصائم يدرب نفسه على مراقبة الله تعالى فيترك ما تحوى نفسه ما قدرته عليه لعلمه باطلاع الله عليه. And this is tremendous. Yani that the fasting person trains their self, trains their nafs to be conscious of the muraqabatullah, to be conscious of Allah, to be aware of Allah, and know that Allah is watching you. Muraqabatullah. And this is a tremendous meaning from the great meanings of Islam, that a person is conscious of the obligation to Allah and conscious of the fact that Allah is watching over us. Training oneself with this reality of the muraqabatullah. So in this way, the person gives up that which their lower self desires, even though they have the ability to do so, because they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. How many times do we as human beings, in the course of a day, in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, find ourselves in a position that we are doing something, or we are looking at something, or we are speaking about something that we know is not pleasing to Allah? And if we were conscious that Allah is watching us, and Allah is listening to us, and Allah has angels recording our deeds, this would be a means of preventing ourselves from engaging in that which will be the cause of our punishment in the next life. The muraqabatullah. And this is also a theme that we have to talk about before the end of Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And also from those characteristics of fasting that are related to at-taqwa. Taqwa being what? The abandonment of what Allah has prohibited and the fulfilling of the deeds of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, أَنَّ السِّيَامُ يُضِيقُ مَجَارِي الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ. That fasting tightens the passageways of shaitan. Yani, the blood stream, the blood vessels that shaitan travels through, as the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, that shaitan travels through the human being like their blood travels through their body. Fasting tightens the passageways of shaitan, for indeed shaitan travels through the human being through the passageways of their blood. And by fasting, these openings and these passageways are weakened and tightened, and therefore the person commits less sins. And indeed, this is the characteristic of taqwa. And the fourth thing that the Shaykh mentions, as we're running out of time, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ فِي الْغَالِبْ تُكْثِرُ طَاعَتُهُ فَالطَّاعَاتْ مِنْ خِصَالِ التَّقْوَى. That also the fasting person, generally speaking, this is not absolute, فِي الْغَالِبْ, most of the time, most of the fasting people, they do more good deeds. They increase in their ta'at. Yani, people who are fasting do more good deeds than when they are not fasting. And this is from, these acts of obedience are from the characteristics of a taqwa. Don't we see that more people come to the masjid in Ramadan when they are fasting? That more people are praying the prayers in congregation. Even, forget about the night prayer, even the regular prayers, Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib. People are in the masjid more than ever. Maybe in Dhuhr time, in many masjids, you might find a handful of people. Now you find people you never saw before praying in the masjid for Dhuhr, and praying in the masjid for Asr, and opening the Quran and reading the Quran, and giving charity and doing all kind of good things. Because, yani, fasting is a means to help a person to increase in good deeds, and this is the characteristic of taqwa. And the Shaykh says, the last point that he mentions is that the rich person, إِذَا ذَاقَ أَلَمْ الْجُوعِ أوجب له ذلك مساواة الفقراء المعدمين وهذا من خصال التقوى. That the fasting person, the rich person, the wealthy person, the person who has more than their means, when they taste the pain of hunger, Yani normally they are never hungry, right? The person who has a lot of money is eating all the time, anytime they want, whatever they want. But in Ramadan, everybody has to abstain from eating, no matter how much money you have. You can't eat from dawn until sunset. So the fasting person who is wealthy now experiences hunger maybe for the first time. And in experiencing their hunger, it obligates them. It pushes them. It motivates them to consider kindness and charity to the poor, the people who don't have. So you find people in Ramadan being more charitable. People just bringing food to the masjid, bringing trays, cartons of water, people bringing all kinds of things to the masjid for the less fortunate. And the less fortunate come to the masjid and receive it, and are happy to be fed in this month of fasting. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said in the tafsir. And I wanted to read yani one further matter, but yani for the sake of time, and maybe in the following week, inshallah, we talk a little bit further about taqwa and fasting. And just quickly, in the remaining 2 minutes, I want to read to you some benefits and advice for the fasting person. Inshallah, will be a benefit to some of us, if not all of us. Number one, it is necessary that your food and drink be halal, in order that your deeds be accepted and your supplication be answered. It is incumbent that your food and drink be halal. And don't fast from the halal and break your fast with the haram. I used to see some people come out of the Prophet's masjid in Medina after Maghrib, and the first thing they did was light up a cigarette. Number two, beware of fasting, abstaining from the lawful and then breaking your fast with the unlawful, such as backbiting and so on. Number three, whoever ate something due to forgetfulness must continue to fast, and there is no need to make up the day. Indeed, it is Allah who has given that person to eat and drink, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith. Number four, guard your tongue from lying, cursing, backbiting, tale-bearing, slandering, false accusations. Surely these things decrease the reward of fasting, no doubt. And perhaps they may invalidate them. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, that on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, a person's sinful behavior may overcome and outdo their good behavior and invalidate it, so that they have nothing. Perhaps the benefit of the fast, the reward of the fast, will be lost by the danger of our tongue. And number five, very, very importantly, beware of wasting your time without performing good deeds. Surely you will be questioned about your time. You will be called to account about it and rewarded for whatever deeds you have done with it, that is the time that you have been given in this world. Let me stop here. Beware of wasting your time. Yani, don't waste your time in that which is of no benefit. Make sure you're utilizing your time for that which is of benefit. Yani, reading the Quran, making dhikr and dua, giving charity, praying, and doing things that are of benefit. Make sure that you're utilizing your time properly. This time of Ramadan is only ayyam and ma'dudat, a few days. That is already 1 week of it is almost gone. And another week will be gone, and the last 10 days will be gone, and Ramadan will be gone. Don't waste your time. Wallahi, I say that to myself first. It will be gone, and we will regret. And on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, we'll be asked about this time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.